I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Councilmember Morgan is excused.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodwin?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
And here.
We do have a presentation tonight from Every Day So Hap from Trip Heart, so we'll let him come up first.
Thank you, Your Honor. Council members, staff, my name is Trip Heart, and I happen to be president or chair of LINC, Civility, Compassion, Kindness. For folks, want to see our little emblem here? And, thank you. See, thank you. That's what this is all about. A random act of kindness. I'm not kidding. But also the thank you. That's part of it, too. There's three more. A positive attitude. Look at that smiling face. And a healthy brain. See, I'm getting right into it. But that's okay. LINC Civility, Compassion, Kindness is, it's kind of like what our name says. We want to hope to have civility in our discourse, compassion in our thinking, and kindness in our actions. You might have heard of the, back in 2011, the Rachel's Challenge program initiative that the school district had. LINC was taking that school district initiative to the community. We have to do a similar thing with the SOHAP. Nobody's ever heard of that word SOHAP before because we just created it. And it comes from this, when we kind of study what might help with healthy relationships, because that's what we're really about, trying to develop healthy relationships for folks on the plateau. And Black Diamond is part of the Union Plus School District and the White River School District. And the issue of having healthy relationships and how can you build healthy relationships? We're a big part of domestic violence, teen dating violence awareness, National Night Out. Those are other concepts in terms of, you know, what helps for healthy relationships. But what we want to try to focus on is vibrant well-being. And we have developed a document which we've handed out. Now, this document is still, there's been multiple drafts of this floating around the plateau and Black Diamond. And it's still a work in progress, and we've submitted it to the Rainier Foothills Wellness Foundation. We are a task force of the Wellness Foundation. There's six task forces of that foundation. We're one, and it's still being reviewed by the Board of Trustees, so technically it's not, quote unquote, an approved document. But the focus is what brings good mental health. Now, there's definitely a place for medicine and therapeutic programs for those suffering from mental illness. And we're not trying to say that that's not critical. That is critical. But part of the therapy for people suffering with mental illness, they talk about five practices that are encouraged. And really the essence of what we want people to think about is having a positive outlook, a giving spirit, and a healthy brain. So, and the concept is this, getting it into your subconscious, making it part of your everyday action so that you're automatically doing it. He just springs out of the chair because I needed help, right? Some people are more giving and more grateful. That's a personality trait, right? Some people are way more. People of faith are typically way more grateful than people who don't have a faith. But people who don't have a faith can be extremely grateful if they work at it, right? It's just a question of practice. So what we want people to do is think about that. How can you develop a positive outlook? How could you have a giving spirit and a healthy brain? Positive outlook, and this is a long topic, and what we expect people to do is to spend the next 5 months, starting in November, working on these five things, five practices, because basically your brain takes a repeated action of what you do every day, and if you do it every day, even if it's just a little bit, it doesn't have to be a lot, you just do one act a little bit, just one little helpful hand. And if you do that every day, it gets into your brain like, that's how I should live my life. And then you don't have to work at it. But you should try to have an intentional act for a period of, say, a month. And do it every day, It'll become part of your consciousness. So that positive outlook, how can, you know, our brains are wired for the negative, and it basically takes three positive experiences to offset a negative one. So why don't you start your day off with one? Start your day off with a positive experience. Intentionally think that I'm going to savor a positive experience. Stop and smell the roses. Do you stop for a second, or is it a minute? You see a kid playing in a puddle. Well, that's cute. Why not stop and spend a minute or two enjoying that scene? If you intentionally, you know, when the month comes for positive experiences, every single day you're going to focus on, we would suggest that you focus on, hey, is this something good? Could I maybe think, could I spend 2 minutes and think back in my life of what's a positive experience? And just write it down. And just make your brain think positivity. You could go to school and think it's a chore. And you'll have stress and anxiety from it. You could go to school and say, this is a privilege. And those kids achieve. And those kids have a rewarding experience. And it's just a difference of attitude. So if you can create that positive attitude, you're way farther ahead in life. A giving spirit. Giving thanks is a very incredible exercise in wellness. Because you bounce back from stress. It's kind of odd that it's a strong relaxant, technically. And studies show it adds to longevity of life. So if you can be grateful, you might just live longer. Isn't that odd? Just to be able to say thanks. And oh, by the way, when you say thanks, which is going to help your vibrant well-being or your own well-being, you're giving somebody else an appreciative task, and they're happier too. You just elevated the community. The well-being of the community. And there's lots of different things that come with this, and we hope that we'll be having this on a website, and whether we go through the Wellness Foundation or our own Everyday Have, SoHab, this will be available, plus each month that expression of what to do. So being grateful, that's pretty simple. Think in the last 24 hours what you're grateful for and just say it out loud. Write it down into a journal. Simple. Random acts of kindness. Again, one of the quickest ways, supposedly, of getting a random act of kindness or getting happiness is to do a random act of kindness. It releases euphoria, endorphins within your brain, and you've helped somebody else. You've made them happier, and you've made yourself happier. I mean, it's a win-win. And then there's a cascading effect because that person that you just helped, they're going to help somebody else. And the whole network of society is better off. So a random act of kindness is important. The nurturing a healthy brain. There's two things that a brain needs. It needs physical wellness. It's just body tissue, just like everything else. So like your heart, like your lungs, like your bones, it needs cardio workout. You have to oxygenate your blood to have a healthy brain. But then what's odd, too, is you have to get the blood up there. And arguably the best thing for a healthy brain is weightlifting. Because if you like that and you're getting all the blood going up there, that, you know, it's okay to oxygenate the blood, but if it's not getting up to the brain, you know, that doesn't help. Weightlifting is critical for a healthy brain. And people don't know that. Also, eating wisely. Your brain is 60% fat. Back in the 60s and 70s, we moved away from eating healthy fats, essential fats, and replaced it with sugar. And basically, even the last 40, 50 years, we've really paid the price. So eating essential fats, eating wisely, helps with a nurturing brain. Rest is important for a brain. Quality and quantity of sleep is important, but also what's really important is during the day, clear your mind. If you can clear your mind and have a single focus on clearing your mind, it's really beneficial to the brain. And you can do that with breathing techniques, visualization techniques. What's also really odd is that how often do we actually practice being single focused? Everybody's multitasking all the time. So if you can quiet the chatter, work on just clearing your mind, then when you have an endeavor to do, when you have a job, you're way more creative. You're way more productive. You're able, because you've practiced becoming single-focused. And then you can say, I'm going to do this. Distractions go away. I'm right here. So it helps with that. But it really helps with a lot of physical things. They talk about lower cholesterol, lower stress, a stronger immune system. I mean, lots of physical things, and then also emotional stuff, depression, anxiety. There's a lot of things that happen with that. Here's the real key. How can you develop a new habit? All of us, we all do all this stuff. You know, we're all helping each other go for brisk walk. So how can you do that? The key is that every day. So starting November, we're suggesting that you think about doing an expression of gratitude for the whole month, every single day. Every single day you try to express gratitude. December will be creating a positive experience. Clear the mind in January, perform random acts of kindness in February, and then support physical wellness in March. Every single month, just pick one, because that's the easiest way. And develop a new habit, and then that will come to you. And then March 20th is the International Day of Happiness. You know, other cities celebrate that. And then lastly, we're suggesting a community book read. This was the community book read that our school district, the Enumclaw Black Diamond School District, had all of their leaders read. Okay, and they gave that to all their leaders, all the principals. Well, how about the teachers? How about the parents? There's other books that are like this that are good for the students. Successful Teens with a Slight Edge. And there's some slight edge principles in this. And that's really how you build a habit. Because you can't just go and pick up 1,000 pounds. That's no good. You're going to hurt yourself. Pick up 1 pound every day. And do that 1,000 times. And then you'll have a healthy brain. So anybody who has questions from the council or from the public, Trip Hart again, I'm an attorney in Enumclaw, but you can contact us, be looking for this. This is hopefully going to be hitting the paper next week. We'll have a lot more announcements. There are a few extra of these here for the public if anybody wants them. And we'll be moving forward, but hopefully each month we'll be doing a poster saying, here's the best way to do this next month. And that will be coming out. And the school district is going to be doing a flyer to all the kids. Elementary will get a hard one, middle school and high school will be digital, on this program, the flyer, and then hopefully each month, the practice. So I thank you, Your Honor, for allowing me to come before you and advise the council on this new initiative, and it's going to start next month, and we hope to rock and roll with it and bring vibrant wellness to the Plateau communities in Black Diamond. So any questions that I might answer?
We just started our wellness program for the city just kind of, we talked about it before, but we just went to some meetings today. And
well, the Enumclaw has a wellness program, and I actually participated with them, and I presented like a full 35-minute program on all of the elements of this. And the Buckley Wellness Committee has asked me to come to them as well. And you'll see gratitude graffiti a lot. When maybe you'll see some. I'm meeting with the Black Diamond Maple Valley Kiwanis Club. And I'm going to be asking them to support gratitude graffiti. That's a movement that started in Hurricane Sandy, where you express gratitude on windows. Businesses that allow people to do that, and that's going to really happen hopefully big time in Enumclaw, because the city of Enumclaw is doing it, Enumclaw Chamber of Commerce is doing it, Green River Community College, Enumclaw School District, the library, Arts Alive, and so hopefully a lot of businesses will do that. So, but I'd like to encourage that in Black Diamond as well. Yes, Councilman.
So my question is, can you give us a better understanding of the organization? Is it a nonprofit? How's it funded?
When we used to have the Enumclaw Hospital, before it was St. Elizabeth, there was an Enumclaw Foundation, Hospital Foundation, and that was, say, maybe 20, 30 years ago. And then when the hospital got bought out by the Franciscans, became St. Elizabeth Hospital, then the Hospital Foundation, they kind of thought, well, first of all, we want to serve the whole area. So they, instead of being called the Enumclaw Foundation, they changed their name to Rainier Foothills Wellness Foundation. And then they have several task forces, the caravan, the mobile dental van, drug and alcohol services, the mental health task force, and LINC. So we're just one of those task forces that are dealing with health. You know, and how can you collaborate with people and with entities on health, on issues of health? And while there is a mental health task force, and they work at, they're more concerned about treating mental illness. So those with mental illness, where are the services, trying to encourage that. And it is a really important concept that these five principles that will help them, they need services too. They, you know, it's critical to have prescriptions. So we're not trying to take away from that. But these principles are really good for them, but they're really good for everybody else. And doctors, psychiatrists and psychologists, you know, for hundreds of years, they've only been focusing on dysfunction. It's only in the last couple of decades that they've focused on good, healthy function. And that's what this is all coming from.
Thank you. You can lean your little thing up against the dais if you like.
Well,
are you leaning?
Yeah, I have to go. But I hope that that's fine. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is a time for public comments. We do have a public hearing tonight, so the public comments would be on anything other than the public hearing. Persons wishing to address City Council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you desire a formal agenda placement, please contact the city clerk. Is there anybody that would like to make public comments? Gary.
Yeah. 30 seconds. Calendars on the table. I got deluged in the mail. I don't need them. Anybody wants them?
Okay, thank you. Yes.
This is actually my first time ever coming here. My name is Candido Christian-Ciaparoni. Been in contact with Ron Taylor for almost...
Can we have your address?
Oh, 32503 Morgan Drive here in Black Diamond. My concern was back in about a year ago, I contacted Ron Taylor regarding the Beaver Dam and the flooding issue. I came to the city asking about what I could do or what I couldn't do in putting in a barrier to raise the level of my ground. I'm by the transfer station right on the back part of Yarrow Bay's wetland buffer zone. And so so after going back and forth, we're trying to find different things. I guess I was to come in and just make my problem known that the flooding that's going back there because of all the drought this year, the level of the dams have increased. Almost went up today, measured 3 feet from either side of the bridge. My property is underwater all the way up past the asphalt. I never had wetland restrictions on my property before, prior to buying the house a year and a half ago. And even when Ron came out, took some pictures, saw my property, that there was soft spots, water that was outside the property, and that was in May. And then to the point to now where we're just entering rain season, and now property's flooded all the way up to the asphalt. So, and then I contacted Seth Bosher?
Yes.
Bosher? Okay, yeah, I haven't met you yet, but contact him regarding the same issues and what path to go along. So wasn't sure where to go from there other than coming here and contacting other community members that are other than Palmer, Coke, and Cole and major places, but that live along these wetland zones that are being afflicted by it. And I guess that's it. So.
Well, Seth is working with Fish and Wildlife to see if we can get a solution. So we are working on that.
Okay.
With all the people that you've talked to, too.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anybody else like to make public comments? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment period. We now have a public hearing on a proposed ordinance adopting concurrency regulations. Mr. Botcher.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I'm just going to make some brief comments just as an introductory. I want to cover some procedural things and then a brief explanation of what the ordinance accomplishes as background kind of for all. And then we can open the public hearing. So procedurally, we are here tonight to receive comments on the proposed concurrency, traffic concurrency ordinance. It's fine if the public would also like to ask questions. However, this is not going to be a question and answer time. Tonight is primarily an opportunity for the public to comment on the ordinance and provide you as the council feedback on the proposed ordinance. We expect that there could be some edits based on the comments received, and if the edits are substantial, then the ordinance will be could need to be re-advertised. So we'll take the comments under advisement and determine if the edits are going to be substantive. We may need to re-advertise. So depending on that scenario, The earliest we would adopt the ordinance would be November 5th. After that, it would be November 19th. I would leave it to our council whether we would leave the hearing open until the next meeting or whether we would need to reset it. During my presentation, at the time that we are looking to adopt the ordinance, I will be presenting to council. At that time, I will address the comments that were raised, as well as questions, so that everyone would have a good understanding of the changes, if any, as well as the staff's response to the comments. We've received comments from the Citizens Technical Action Team in writing, and then also via email from Judith Carrier, and a letter from Yarrow Bay, Colin Lund of Yarrow Bay. Now, and you will be receiving, the council will be receiving all copies of those. Now to the ordinance, I'll just kind of briefly cover what this ordinance accomplishes. This is an ordinance that is required by state law and is needed to bring the city into compliance with state law. First of all, this ordinance requires monitoring and tracking of the level of service at all the major intersections in Black Diamond. It requires the new development apply for a capacity evaluation of their project impacts to the city's transportation system. If a project impacts an intersection does not meet the city's level of service, or it lowers that intersection to lower than the city's level of service, they must either stop or mitigate the impact, or provide the city with a strategy to cover the impact for their project. From time to time, some projects may raise unexpected impacts that have not been anticipated in our capital improvement plan. And at that point, the city's, in the ensuing year, the city would need to update the capital improvement plan and as well as update the comprehensive plan to address that transportation issue. I think that pretty much covers the basic issue, but it's primarily to ensure that all of the projects within the city are addressing concurrency in transportation as the projects are being approved. And with that, we'll open the mic for comments from the public.
Judith Carrier.
Carrier 24305 Southeast Green Valley Road, Auburn, Washington, 98092. Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to address you. And it's nice to see you all again. I did send this email to you mid-afternoon. Don't know if you had time to read it, but I'd like to read it here for you and for the public that's attending. I'm also reading this on behalf of my husband, Glenn Carrier, as we both signed this. Transportation has been among the key concerns of Black Diamond citizens, as well as those in surrounding jurisdictions, during the years since the Yarrow Bay MPDs were first proposed. Many of your constituents are aware these concerns have not been adequately addressed by either the developers or the city government over that time, even with the continual expert and citizen research and testimony and resulting hearing examiner recommendations made to this point. It is of great importance that transportation concurrency ordinance be as sound and as legally indisputable as possible in respect to traffic and transportation impacts in order to benefit and protect the city of Black Diamond as well as its neighbors. I'm pleased with the contents of the ordinance so far, but am amazed at some areas, large, small, complicated, and otherwise, that still need to be studied and revised. There are some critical directives dealing with when and how the ordinance will be applied that are missing or need rewording. Please pursue this and make changes that will make this ordinance exceptionally strong and unquestionable in meaning, including the city's ability to use it whenever a need for reliable transportation concurrency information arises. The ability of the government of the city of Black Diamond to keep traffic and transportation concurrent is of great significance to all of us. And thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Peter?
How much time do I have? Thank you. Good evening. My name is Peter Rimbos, 19711 241st Avenue, Southeast Maple Valley. I lead the technical action team. I'm the transportation focal, and I'll be speaking on our team's behalf tonight. That's easy. Earlier this week, we submitted to you our detailed written comments, and I think Seth referred to them. I won't repeat those here. In summary, the proposed ordinance is very well researched and written, but we did provide you recommendations along with concerns about implementation. While we understand the proposed ordinance deals with concurrency for the entire city as it must, I will address the potential impacts on the vast majority of concurrency testing the city will be conducting due to the two master plan developments, which will generate well over 80% of future traffic. How did we arrive at that number? With a current population of 4160, full build out of MPD's 6,050 homes, assuming a lowball estimate of 3 people per home, results in an MPD population of 18150 and a total city population of 22310. Consequently, the MPD percentage of total population is 81%. Increasing this percentage will be the addition of the 1.15 million square feet of commercial space, which will add quite a bit of traffic. And according to Transpo analysis, about 80% of the traffic to the commercial areas will be new and coming from outside the city. Fortunately, the city has tremendous discretion when it comes to transportation concurrency. We've actually been waiting for this for 6 years. First, according to state law, transportation concurrency cannot be vested. Also, according to the MPD ordinance conditions of approval, the ARB must meet then applicable city of level service standards. As part of implementation, we call your attention to the following 13 points. 1. Level of service measures should be tailored to track whether transportation investments are keeping pace with growth. 2. Adjusting level of service is one way to appropriately balance Growth Management Act goals, such that the city can seek a balance between new capacity for growth, addressing system deficiencies, and maintenance and rehabilitation of the existing system. 3. Establish level of service standards based on priorities so that staff can provide a way for policymakers to understand the trade-offs, for example, using weighting factors, and to experiment with different policy priorities to see their effects. The transportation system is critical to implementing the city's land use vision. Transportation plans and supporting level of service measures should be consistent with and encourage projects that support that vision. 5. Since concurrency calls for transportation improvements to be in place at the time of development or a firm financial commitment, not hope for grants, in place to complete improvements within 6 years without decreasing levels of service below locally established minimum standards, It prevents development that is out of sync with public facilities necessary to support such development. 6. The concurrency management system is the combination of comprehensive plan policies, implementing development regulations, and the day-to-day operations that meter and monitor the achievement of concurrency. 7. Your concurrency management system should also serve as an ongoing feedback process with level of service standards that you have adopted. 8. Local governments have considerable flexibility in designing concurrency measurement methods and level of service standards, including making a policy choice to accept roadway congestion rather than limit development. However, once jurisdictions have set their level of service standards, they must deny development that would cause the affected transportation facilities to fail or exceed their standards unless they require mitigation to accommodate the impacts of that development. 9. Concurrency determination is an allocation of a scarce public resource to a particular project. Your system will need to balance providing projects with certainty and predictability with ensuring the scarce public resource is put to good use and meets the public's needs. 10. A project can be reduced in scale to reduce the number of trips generated. A project can be deferred or phased to remain in sync with infrastructure improvements. If probable funding falls short, the city's plan must include a discussion of how additional funding will be raised or how land use assumptions will be reassessed to ensure that adopted level of service standards will be met. 11. Early project phases can be approved while subsequent phases deferred until adequate capacity comes online to better connect project success with future market conditions and delivery of future capital projects. In this way, both the community and the developer take some of the additional risk. Phase deferral can be useful when actual demand is far removed in time from the initial concurrency testing. Plus, cities can prevent a large multi-phase project from tying up significant amounts of capacity years before fully occupied. 12. The concurrency determination process can manage cumulative area-wide impacts, while traffic impact analyses under SEPA handle operational impacts from specific projects. And last, 13, interjurisdictional coordination is critical. Concurrency can be managed through coordinated transportation modeling, coordinated transportation mitigation, or operation of a regional concurrency system. The city's ordinance should be consistent with countywide planning policies. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? So we aren't going to close this public hearing today. We're going to leave it open till, what, November 5th?
Yes, I would recommend that, but I would defer to our council.
I would recommend that you go ahead and close it because we are going to make certain amendments to this ordinance.
Oh.
And then we'll have a new ordinance that you'll have another public hearing on.
Oh, that's true.
That's how I would look at it.
Okay. Are you concur with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
We'll close this public hearing today and then we'll make the amendments.
Mayor, a question. On November 5th, a new ordinance has come before us. There'll be another public hearing. Would there be action taken that night, or will we then defer action by the council to the next meeting after that?
There's 3 weeks to November 5th, meaning we would have to advertise tomorrow. There's not sufficient time. I don't think we're going to have sufficient time to make edits and make sure that we have a close to final copy by, say, Monday or Tuesday when we need to have the ordinance available for the public. So I would suggest that we set up a public hearing for November 19th. Is that a Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
But to answer the question on the when the council is going to take action after mm-hmm. the public hearing, mm-hmm. My recommendation would be that you look at where you are with regard to the changes that were made to the ordinance. And if you need to make additional changes to the ordinance, then you're not going to want to take action, because you always want to make sure that you have public input on the ordinance as it's written before you take action.
Right, and that's what we normally do, is then defer to the next meeting after that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have new business. Item number 5 is showing continued effort in adopting comprehensive plan work plan. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So Agenda Bill 15069 is attached to Resolution 151046. This is a resolution that is intended to show the city's good faith effort in continuing progress and in completing and adopting its comprehensive plan update. As you probably are all aware, the comprehensive plan update is required by state law, and that was supposed to be adopted on June 30th of 2015. So we have not made our due, our deadline for that. But in conversation with the Department of Commerce, we're not alone. A lot of cities are not ready to adopt their comp plan on schedule. But this resolution does show, with the attached work plan, that we are truly trying to get back into compliance and get that comprehensive plan work done and to council for adoption as quickly as possible. So probably the work plan attached to this, maybe you want to ask questions about that, but it's a very aggressive schedule. It has us adopting or bringing recommendation to adopt to council in April of 2016 with the possibility of getting that adopted by May. We've got public participation elements throughout the schedule in December, which is an unfortunate time, I realize, for many people. We've got workshops for the public and also Joint Planning Commission Council workshop. But then January through January, February, and March, there'll be more opportunity for public input as we take the draft comp plan through the Planning Commission process. And then when Planning Commission makes their recommendation to Council, again, you would have opportunity for public input. So I ask that you consider approving that resolution as just really just to show that the city is truly working toward compliance with state law.
Go ahead.
One thing I want everyone to understand, too, that we aren't in a vacuum here anymore, that the Barb specifically and the Community Development Organization and our subs are working really hard to get us back on track. We've lost a lot of time, and we recognize that. But we've already, in our community development committee meetings, we're going to twice a month now so that we can start reviewing these updates as they're being generated. And I think we're off on a really good start. And I think by stepping up our meetings to twice a month, that's going to help move the process closer for the rest of the council, too.
My comment was just going to be that I appreciate the aggressive schedule, because I know that this also impacts our eligibility on some of our grants. I would make a motion to adopt Resolution 15-1046 to show good faith in continuing progress toward compliance with 36.70.130 RCW to update the comprehensive plan.
Second.
Is there, pardon me, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a comment here. I want to be sure that I understand what's being done here, because Exhibit A is supposed to be the work plan, but Exhibit A is also some revised visions and general goals, and we can't amend the comp plan with that. This is what I, did I get the wrong?
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. You had an old email copy.
We're just adopting. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Council.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was deleted.
Okay. Okay, is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next item on the agenda is the rezoning certain properties in the master plan development zone to R4 and R6. Ms. Kincaid.
So Agenda Bill 15070 is Ordinance 151062. This is a city-initiated rezone of certain properties that are currently under the moratorium. So I've got three exhibits to the ordinance, the legal descriptions. Exhibit A, the map of the proposed rezone, is Exhibit B, and then Exhibit C is the meeting notes recording the recommendation from the Planning Commission. So this recommendation comes to you through the Planning Commission. I've invited our chair, Pam McCain, to come up and give you that recommendation shortly. But it went through the process for workshop and public hearing before the Planning Commission, and that occurred on September 8th. On October 6th, the Planning Commission made their recommendation to you to approve this ordinance and rezone these properties. So the map shows you the red box. It's the properties under moratorium, and if adopted, the zoning map would be amended from what is currently in that red area, zoned MPD, master plan development, to a combination of residential 4, R4, and R6, residential 6. And you can tell the different colors. The darker peach would be the area that would be R6, and the lighter tan would be R4. So that's about 131 acres of that. 160 acres would be R6, and then about 26, just under 30, would be the R4. And this was initiated by the city because the current zoning, which is why we put a moratorium on it, was not consistent with our regulations. Pam, would you like to come up and...
Pam McCain, 29050, 222nd Place Southeast, Black Diamond. On behalf of the Planning Commission, I'm here tonight to give you a recommendation to approve the rezone of approximately 160 acres from the MPD zone to R4 and R6. The recommendation resulted from a unanimous vote of the Planning Commission, 700, at their October 6th meeting. Exhibit C to the rezone ordinance in front of you contains the Planning Commission vote. The vote was taken after a workshop and public hearing held on September 8th.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair McCain. Any questions that I can answer for you?
I would just like to make a comment. I had an opportunity, as you know, to sit in on both of those Planning Commission meetings, and my hat's off to my neighbor for leading those conversations. And obviously a lot of concerns and questions were raised, particularly in the initial session. There was no comment after that. Everybody understood. So in total, all of you did a very good job of going through it, from what I can see. So thank you. And thank you.
Thank you.
I have one other comment. I just want to express my appreciation for that synopsis from the Planning Commission. That really helps us to understand how the discussion went during the Planning Commission, how the vote was. That's something that I kind of tried to foster a while ago, but it just kind of never got anywhere. So on that note, really appreciate that. Would love to see that continue.
I would make a motion to adopt Ordinance Number 15-1062, rezoning certain properties in the Master Plan Development Zone to R4 and R6.
So, before you go any further, because this is a rezone, I would really appreciate it if you would read the entire title, but you don't need to read all those parcel numbers, but we need to be as clear as possible.
The entire title, meaning the Ordinance Number 15-1062?
Yeah, that paragraph is top, but you don't have to read the parcel numbers. But we don't want any question in the future.
I make a motion to adopt an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, Washington, relating to land use and zoning rezoning 26.26 acres from Master Plan Development, MPD, to Residential 4, R4, zoning district, located within the northwest section, township, range, county, parcel number, as indicated in the description, and rezoning 130.65 acres from Master Plan Development, MPD, to Residential 6, which is R6 zoning district, located within northwest quarter section 22, township range, King County parcel numbers identified, and amending the official zoning map to be consistent therewith.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is repealing ordinance number 15-1055, which extended a moratorium imposed on the acceptance of development applications within the Master Plan Development District. Ms. Kincaid.
So, Agenda Bill 15071, Ordinance 151063, now that we have zoning adopted for those parcels that are under moratorium, this ordinance would repeal the moratorium that's over them at this time.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 15-1063, repealing ordinance number 15-1055, which extended a moratorium imposed on the acceptance of development application within the Master Plan Development District.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. So do we have any department reports? Okay. We had an emergency management meeting, and today we actually had a drill for earthquake, and which went off without a hitch. We had a few people there that were, we had a meeting, and so they had to sign up, write their names down because they weren't on our list. I presented a contract to the Black Diamond Community Center regarding our insurance contract, which we'll probably be voting on November 5th. They passed it unanimously to accept the contract that was written by our attorney. So the next step is for us to vote on whether we want to go forward with that. I went to the Studio Bear ribbon cutting today, which is in Diamond Square. Very, very nice people. I attended the ad hoc traffic and transportation meeting last week, and planning and community development meeting and finance committee meetings. And we're working on our wellness plan. So Brenda and the deputy city clerk went to a meeting today to figure out how to start that up for the city and get everybody involved. And Councilmember, I'm done with my report. Councilmember Deedy.
I attended the community center dinner auction and the ad hoc transportation meeting last week as well.
I also attended the dinner auction for the community center. I've been to the planning and community services and the finance committee meetings on the 8th. I also was at the ribbon cutting today for the studio bar yoga and hot yoga. Won't ever catch me doing hot yoga. Last night was the Public Issues Committee meeting, and I want to talk about that a little bit in depth. There's always a lot going on at a county level with these 35 cities and over a million people. The pre-pick is usually a presentation that is provided to the to anyone who'd like to come, council members and members of the pick. It was Metro Transit and Sound Transit. It was a very interesting presentation talking about all of their challenges that they have and how are they going to try and work all of the issues with the funding that they have. One of the things that came up that I thought was interesting is they are doing some trial runs with some electric buses. And so they can run across the I-90 bridge to like Eastgate, plug their bus in for a while, recharge it, and shoot back across the bridge. That's going to be interesting in lieu of the fact that I heard last night, too, that Mercer Island has a big concern because the express lanes on I-90 at some point, and I think it's 2017, are going to be closed for 6 years while they do all of their light rail improvements. So there's a lot of people that are very concerned about that activity. Last month, I talked to the council about the next generation E911 ordinance that was coming out through King County. And I again want to thank the council and our public safety committee because we got input that we did provide to Sound Cities Association. And some of those comments have been included. There was a healthy negotiation from what I understand, and ValleyCom is well represented, as well as NorCom, I guess is the north end. Mm-hmm. One or the other will have seats at the table, and there are elected officials in most of the capacities, so mm-hmm. I think that will work out, and everybody wins at this one. Everybody had to give up a little, but it was working just fine. Coming up on the 28th is the Sound Cities Association dinner with the Attorney General, and there's also going to be a panel of elected officials from the state legislature that are going to talk. On December 2nd is their annual dinner meeting, and there's going to be some bylaw changes coming up with that. That one's always fun to go to because they always have somebody funny that comes in, and they have a whole program. It's not just all politics. Some other good news is Deanna Dawson, who is the director of Sound Cities Association, and Matt Larson, who is the mayor of Snoqualmie, and he's now the president, I think. They came to the city of Black Diamond about a year ago and talked to the mayor, and this is what they do once a month or less. Actually, they've been trying to hit every city in the Sound Cities Association. Come talk to the mayors and find out what's going on in the cities. And so I'm really happy to say that they're going to come back and visit us in December. And that's a major deal because we need to elevate our reputation in their eyes, and I think that will happen when they come here this time. So that's it.
They came to visit the previous mayor.
I know.
Not you.
I know. That's why they're coming back. I was called out last night in this group of 35 people that they were going to come and visit us again. And I said, well, we would welcome them and that we're on the right path right now.
Thank you. Councilmember Goodwin.
We did have our first Traffic Transportation Committee meeting last Thursday. I did feel kind of like I was herding squirrels for part of this, but it's part of trying to create an environment where we can have a dialogue. And we did have, I think, good participation. I'm hoping for even more. We had 13 people there, 14 people there participating. Everybody gets an opportunity to participate. And I think those that are participating understand this is not just to vent, this is to understand and work on solutions to the problems that we have. And as long as we all approach it with that kind of an attitude, we can take it on in a very productive and constructive way, including a lot of people participating in that. So, again, I felt like I was herding squirrels, but I think we're off to a good start, and it starts with communication. And we do have, after an hour and a half, and exhausting me, we do have an adopted mission. So anyway, that's a good start. And every second Thursday at 7 p.m. here in council chambers, we're going to be doing that. So again, please get the word out. Have people come. Everybody's at the table. So this is not a testimony-driven type of committee. So anyway, thank you for those that did participate, and we look forward to more.
Councilmember Taylor.
I don't have a lot of committee business to report on, but I would like to take the opportunity to thank Christian for coming. He points out another problem that we've really got to get our arms around. everybody needs to just take a minute, slow down a little bit when you go across the bridge over here on Roberts and look at how much dead and dying stuff there is from drowning trees and stuff that's just getting flooded. So it's not a question that we have to do something. We've got to figure out how and how to fund it. And we have to, I'm thinking we're going to have to make this an ongoing program. It isn't just going to be a one-time thing. So that's it.
So do we have an attorney report?
No, ma'am.
So we're back to second public comments. Persons wishing to address City Council regarding items of new business, please come to the podium and state your name and address. If you want a public or a placement on the agenda, please see the city clerk. Is there anybody who would like to get up and make public comments?
I just want to ask, are we allowed to submit our oral comments to you, even though we submitted written comments?
Are you allowed to do what?
Submit our oral comments that I gave tonight, in addition to the written comments we already sent to you in the public hearing.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anybody wish to comment? Seeing no one, we'll close this public comment session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. 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 Adjourned.